If you have your Bibles, let's open them, please, to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter number 1. Joshua chapter number 1. Sixth book of the Old Testament. If you have it, you want to find it. Then I want to say something about the Philippines books. If you were not here this morning, we're trying to bring 750 of the book about my wife's hospital stay, Welcome to the Other Side. We want to bring those when I go in a month to the Philippines. We want to give one to every pastor there. I think as of this morning, we had sold, 100, and then a man during the service bought another 100 just himself. I thought that's raising the bar pretty good. One guy bought 100, and so we're about 550 away. So if you'd like to invest in those Filipino pastors, it's still the sale price is $5 a piece. And whatever you give, and mark Philippines, Filipino pastors, the book, whatever, we'll make sure that goes toward that. So we're in Joshua chapter number 1 tonight. How many of you know a little bit about this book of the Bible? A little bit, I won't call on you, but some, the book of Joshua. How about you know nothing about it? I mean, you didn't even know it was a book till just now. Anybody like that? All right, Brother Steve, really? No, I don't even see Brother Steve in there. Aunt Judy, where's Brother Steve? Smoking? What? No, he's got the offering. I know. He's not smoking. All right. So Joshua, let's look at this, please. Joshua. So Jonathan, stand up good and loud. What is the Hebrew pronunciation for Joshua?
Yeshua.
Okay, thank you. How many of you, that really helped you? I mean, that just helped a lot just now. Now, my whole life has changed. And so the name also means Savior or Deliverer. So this is the Old Testament name for Jesus. So that ought to be real special to us. Just the whole book of the Bible is the name of our Savior. And I love this a lot. This is what I would call... Joshua, Judge, Ruth. Ruth would be a lady's book that women would be very interested in. The book of Esther, the beauty queen. I would say many ladies would say, this is a cool book. I like the book of Esther. The book of Joshua, though it applies to everyone, it would be a guy's book. It's a lot of blood, a lot of guts. It's a lot of fighting. It's just some cool things in the book of Joshua. Okay, someone says, Pastor, why would you say that in church? Because it's a cool book. Okay, so here we are. So here's Joshua. We're going to read one verse, and we're not going to leave chapter 1. We'll be in chapter 1 most of the time, but I hope you'll look at it and maybe draw some in your Bible. I do this all the time. You men that work carpentry or you work construction, a lot of times you'll have a set of plans and you'll mark on them and you'll write something. Change this. Here's a change order. Here's this. Use this. This is not available. Go in here. And you're working. Your Bible ought to be a lot like that. You ought to have a working Bible that you're writing in and put little notes, little reminders. Now, if you don't like writing in your Bible, that's okay. It's not a sin. But you ought to have something that you're writing in. Because if you're like me, your memory is as long as your pencil. If you don't write it down, it won't stay around. Hey, that's a new rap song. Oh, okay. I'm in one of those moods because we're having ice cream tonight. So there it is. So notice, if you will, please, let's look in Joshua chapter 1 and look down in verse number 1. And we're going to speak on fighting the battles of life. And that's what Joshua is all about. It's listing all the battles that the nation of Israel has. They were in bondage to Egypt. We're not going to go through it all. God does a miracle, the blood on the doorposts. They leave in the middle of the night, a little after midnight. God does a miracle. He parts the Red Sea. It's all about salvation. And God does a miracle. When we get saved, it's the blood. Then they have that wilderness trip to go to the promised land, Canaan, which is a representative of the victorious Christian life. And so it's wonderful, but Joshua is filled with battles, a lot of battles. The Christian life is filled with battles. It's interesting. As soon as they cross the Jordan River and get into Canaan, there's a great big city called Jericho. Battle number one, there it is. They don't even have time to celebrate. They cross over, there it is. And oftentimes it's that way in the Christian life. You get saved, and then the battles start. Whether it's family not understanding, or it's friends, or it's a mate, or it's like that lady said, I wanted my husband saved, but I didn't want him that saved. I didn't want you to go to hell, but I didn't want you to beat me anymore. But man, you've just kind of gone fanatical. And so there's those battles. Battles with relatives. Battles with the past. We'll be dealing with some of these during the course of this series. So Joshua is an exciting book. Almost every chapter is a different battle they're fighting. But it all parallels with the Christian life. It's not physical battles that we're in. Hey, bless God, I beat up the neighbor today. Tomorrow I'm going to beat up the old lady across the street. That's not what we're talking about. Our battles are spiritual battles. We fight them on our knees. We fight them with the gospel. We claim God's promises. We ask God to turn hearts, to do miracles in people's lives. And God can do that. He did it then. He can still do it now. So notice this verse, and then we'll give you the background of Joshua here. Chapter 1, verse 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun. It's kind of funny, isn't it? He's Jewish, but his mother was a nun. No, that's his daddy's name, Nun. I can see it now. Dad, can I have some money? I have none. Oh, okay. That's too bad. Okay. Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister. That meant he was Moses' servant, saying. So that's the first verse. Let's pray. Give you a little background. We'll get right into it. Father, bless this time we have. Please help us. Help our hearts to be tender. Every one of us will have some type of battle waiting on us tomorrow. World, flesh, devil, and a lot of things that fall under those topics. I pray you'd help us. We don't want to be defeated. Always under the weather, under, always down, always discouraged, depressed. Lord, we want to be on the upside. We want to be on the victory side. I pray you'd help us. We sang it's a grand thing to be a Christian. I pray you'd help us feel like it really is. In Jesus' name, amen. Background to Joshua. Hang with me for just a little bit. Here we go. His name means Savior. Second, he's Moses' minister. He was the one when Moses needed to do something, he was right there waiting on him, helping him. He was there for years, Moses' minister. Three, Joshua was one of the 12 spies. As they came to the promised land, after about several weeks' journey, after they crossed the Red Sea, Moses took the 12 top leaders of the nation, one from each tribe of Israel, sent them into Canaan and said, spy out the land. And show us what type of, what's the topography? What's the enemies like? What about the cities? Come back and report. We don't have blimps to look. We don't have spy out the nation. And so those 12 did. And of course, they come back. 10 of them said, it can't be done. There's giants, can't do it. Thumbs down. Two of them, Joshua and Caleb, said, thumbs up. God is big. And God's told us it's free. They're ready. They're shaking in their boots. And so he was one of the 12 spies. That's who he was. Who was Joshua? He was the one that went up on the mountain when Moses got the 10 commandments. And God wrote those 10 commandments with his finger, wrote them in stone, and he had the tablets. And about that time, Joshua said, I hear a noise in the camp. I hear Israel. It sounds like a war. It sounds like they're screaming. And they came down and they were dancing around that golden calf. Joshua was with Moses during that time. So he was there. He was there all the way through. Here's Joshua. He was no stranger to battles. As they traveled, as Moses traveled with Israel, one time Amalek came up from the rear and attacked the nation of Israel. You remember the story, some of you? That's when Moses went on the mountain and Aaron and her held up his arms. When his arms were up praying, they had victory. When he got discouraged and weak and put them down, they had defeat. Guess who was doing the battle? Joshua. He said, Joshua, I'll be on the mountain praying. You go down and do battle with Amalek. That was Joshua leading that battle. So these would not be his first battles. He had been prepared for years to take over as leader of the nation of Israel. This is him. This is that Joshua. Now, take for a second, you say, well, how did he end up in charge? Look back in Deuteronomy chapter 1, just for a second. And I have to give you this before we move on, just quickly. Deuteronomy 1 and verse number 38. Deuteronomy 1 and verse 38. And notice what it says. Moses is speaking, giving his farewell speech to Israel. Deuteronomy 1:38. But Joshua, the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go in thither, encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. Isn't that amazing? So right there, before they even get close to crossing the Jordan River, it was already announced publicly, Joshua's going to help you come in. And then if you'll look in chapter number 31 of Deuteronomy, chapter 31, we'll get to it in a second. Hang with me. Deuteronomy 31 in verse number 7. Deuteronomy 31 in verse number 7. And he says, and Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with this people into the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. You're going to be the guy that helps them take over. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. And then we see in 34:9, I want to give you this verse too. 34:9, this is right before they go in. Moses has just died. 34:9, and Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as the Lord commanded Moses. So this is that Joshua. So what battles did Joshua face? Here it is. Battle number one. Battle number one. Before he could ever lead them into battle, he had to deal with the personal battle. His own pain. His own pain. Look at verse 1. Now, after the death of Moses. So who was Moses to Joshua? That was his pastor. Who was Moses? He was his leader for over 40 years. Who was this guy, Moses? He was the guy he worked with. He was probably best friend. His leader, the guy with the big shoes to fill. That's who just passed away. So what was Joshua going through at this time? He was going through grief. Going through grief. He said, Pastor, I have no idea what you're getting at right here in the message. Here it is now. The word grief is not just associated with the death of a loved one. It's associated with any loss. Okay, let's find out. You remember when you were a little kid, maybe your parents sold a car, and you really liked that car, and as the new owners were driving off, you cried. The car didn't die. Well, maybe the car did die once they got it out of the driveway, but the car didn't die, but there was a loss. There was an attachment to something, and it wouldn't be yours anymore. It happens at the death of loved ones. You say, well, what kind of grief did he go through? His leader passed away. I've had at least two pastors that have passed away that were my pastors. I've had Sunday school teachers that have passed away. Many of you have a mom or a dad that's passed away. My dad's in heaven right now. And it does something to you. There is a loss. Until we get to heaven, there is a loss. He lost 10 spies that were probably friends. Here's Joshua, top 12 leaders. They go in. He spies the land. He comes back. God kills the 10 bad ones. He lost some friends. There had to be a grief, some pain down deep inside of him. Get this. There was 1 million Jews that crossed the Red Sea into the wilderness. Guess how many of those Jews crossed into the Promised Land? 2. Moses, excuse me, Caleb and Joshua, 2. God says, you didn't believe? You're all going to die in the wilderness. He lost a lot of friends. Where's your friends? They're all dead. Where's your friends? The earth swallowed them up. Where's your friends? The plagues got them. There was a lot, there had to be a lot of hurt and a lot of pain inside of Joshua. He had a lot of loss. He had loss of where he was raised. He was raised in Egypt. And now he has lost a leader. A lot of loss. That's why sometimes if you ever go to your old neighborhood, there's a sad feeling. If you grew up there, why? Because it's all changed. It's not the same. There's a loss. It's different. You have lost that error in your life as you get older. That's where I rode my bicycle. I used to climb that tree. I went by my old neighborhood and the house is burned. Big old limbs cut off that oak tree. But my mind was just filled with memories. When I was on staff there at that church, I won someone in this house. We had this neighbor get saved. We had this neighbor get baptized. We led them to Christ. I baptized him. Just every street was memories. I drove by the old church where I was on staff and I said, man, I remember painting that building 40 years ago. Everything's different now. Got a rock band on the platform. I went in and played the drums. But it's all different. The people are gone. People have moved. People have passed away. There's a lot of loss. Growing up is hard. Mm-hmm. It's growing up because you're leaving some things behind. It's not the same anymore. It's a loss. It's a loss. Amen. And it's grief. Amen. Sometimes it's a person. It's a friend. It's a friend that was in church with you. Now they're backslidden. They don't even go to church. It's someone that's moved. It's someone that you're not close with anymore. You were real close and now you're not close anymore. There's a loss there. Sometimes it's a place. Sometimes it's possessions. So he had to deal with these things. You'll never lead others until you deal with your personal pain first. Joshua had to deal with that. He couldn't be thinking and saying, hey, you know what I'm going through? No. Deal with this, Joshua. You got 1 million people you're about to lead. Now you got some pain. Let's deal with it. And everyone deals with pain differently. Some people, unresolved pain, it's a lot of anger. And that's why you can say good morning and they cuss you out. It's like, dude, what? Pain they've never resolved, they've never dealt with. Other people, they just get real quiet. Some people withdraw and they're not close to anyone. They don't want to talk to anybody. They don't want to talk to a psychiatrist, counselor, friend, nobody. They're just hurt, and they're just going to deal with it in their own way. Maniac of Gadara, many of those people in the Bible just like that. So, Joshua, you're about to lead Israel. Your friends have been killed. You used to be a slave. Now your pastor has passed away. You've never passed this way. The guy that got the Ten Commandments, you're about to fill his shoes. Wow. Moses knew God face to face. Joshua was about to lead where Moses once led. I like this guy a lot. You know what's interesting about it? They didn't even vote on him taking over. They just knew Joshua is the man. They just knew it. Moses had laid his hands on him. They just knew. It was an amazing thing. Joshua, what a leader. What a great guy. And so, let's just start off just asking this for a moment. Is there any pain you've not dealt with or given to the Lord? Is there something that just keeps popping up all the time? I guess it's not been resolved if it keeps surfacing all the time. Remember years ago, there was a lady came here and just anybody who had listened to her, do you know what I've been through? Do you know what I went through? I mean, a stranger walking down the street. Do you know? You know, you've got to deal with that sooner or later. Amen. Give it to the Lord. Let him heal it with his word. The memory will never go away. And that emotional pain never will. But it doesn't have to be who you are. Amen. Throughout Scripture, we see she's called Rahab the harlot. Blind Bartimaeus. They're labeled. You don't have to let your pain label you. It's time to move on. Hey, Joshua, Big things are required of you. Let's move on. All right, Moses died, but he's in heaven. You'll see him again. It's time to move on.
Amen.
It's time to stop grieving.
Amen.
Okay. You say, Pastor, I don't like first point. Okay, let's go to the second point here. Let's look at this. Notice what God says here. God says, I'll give you my presence. Verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise. Go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land that I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place of the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you, as have I said unto Moses, from the wilderness of this Lebanon into the great river. Verse 5, there shall not any man stand before, be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Now here's God's promise. God says, if you'll give him that pain, and you'll let him use you, just like Joshua. He says, I'll be with you.
Amen.
He said, I'm going to give you my presence. I know, Joshua, you've never come into the promised land. You've never led. By the way, today, Brother Rule, his son has taken over his church. Gabe Rule is now the pastor there at Pleasant Valley. He'll take over leadership of the camp. Brother Rule told me he's going to take his shoes off. And Gabe's going to take his shoes off. And he's going to say, son, all right, step in my shoes. And son's going to take the microphone and say, they don't fit, Dad. They're not my size. And he said, God doesn't expect you to step in my shoes, son. You just wear your own shoes and be the best you can be. I thought that's pretty cool. I said, that man, that'll make a Hollywood movie. And so God said to Joshua, you just be the best Joshua you can be. If I wanted another Moses, I'd have made one. You just be Joshua and lead them in. And God says, I'll be with you.
Amen.
And I want to encourage you this week. Kids starting school, public, private, homeschool, God is with you.
Amen.
You're not alone. Kids going back to Bible college, you. Jason, if you're listening, God is with you. Going to work at a heathen environment when God's name is taken in vain and wickedness is promoted and accepted, God is with you.
Amen.
If you're a single parent raising kids by yourself, God promises, I am with you.
Amen.
If you're going home alone after church, you have no one to talk to about how church went, no one to listen to you, God is with you.
Right.
He's with you. Joshua, let's deal with your pain. Number two, let me help you with my presence. And then he says, let me do something better than that. I'll give you my power. Look in verse 6. Be strong. What's God saying? Don't be strong in your own strength. Paul said, when I am weak, then he is strong. God doesn't want strong people. He wants weak people who know where to get their strength. You get your strength from God's word. You get your strength from him. You get your strength by hanging around Christians that are strong Christians.
Amen.
And so he says in verse number 6, be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide an inheritance of the land, which I shall swear unto their fathers to give them. Only, second time, be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. Boy, I like that. God says, be strong. You can do this. I'll help you. I'll give you my power. I'll give you my strength. Be courageous. You're going to face some enemies. Now, let me stop here. That's why oftentimes Christians turn back. They don't like the battles.
It's true. Amen.
The last part of the chapter says, then I will give you rest. See, here's the sequence. Battle, then rest. If your finances are out of control, you're going to have to do battle to say no, to tear up some credit cards and resist buying everything you think you need, and then you'll have rest.
Amen.
As your kids become teenagers and they get a mind of their own, which is not wrong and not bad, they're becoming young adults, you're going to have to do battle or you're not going to have any rest. No, we're not watching that on television. No, it's not Clown Sunday. You're not wearing that to church. No, no, we're not doing that. No, we're not talking that way to your mother. No, we're not doing that. We're not sitting like that in church. You are bringing your Bible. No, you're not dressing that way. No, you're not going to what school you want to. No, you're not going to that college. No, you're not hanging around them. No, we're not listening to this.
Amen.
You're going to have to fight some battles in the home, or you're not going to have any rest. And you'll be glad after you fight a few battles and they put up the white flag and surrender, you'll have peace in your home.
Amen.
If you don't fight them, you've got skirmishes the rest of your life.
Yeah. Right.
It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. And I love what the rest of the chapter it says, and you'll enjoy it. The Christian life is not all battles. Sometimes we paint it that way. It's so difficult, so hard. No, there's enjoyment. There's a battle, then there's a meal. Then there's a friendship. Then there's a trip. Then there's a vacation. Oh, then there's another battle comes up. It's not all battles. One guy called his wife on the phone. She called him on the cell phone. And he picked it up. He was in traffic in the morning. And she said, honey, be so careful because there's some maniac driving on the wrong side of the freeway. And he's going to kill someone. He said, honey, there's not one maniac. There's hundreds of them on the wrong side of the road. Some people just think, all my life, everything's a battle. No, it's not. The Christian life can be very enjoyable. Very enjoyable. And then let's see here, verse 8. God says, deal with your pain. I'll give you my presence. I'll give you my power. Then he says, and I'll give you my principles. Verse number 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. He said, Joshua, talk about the Bible all the time. If you're going to talk about it, you've got to read it. If you're going to talk about it, you're going to have to have some of it in your heart. You're going to have to remember some of it. Brother Berto always calls this his meds. M-E-D-S, like medicines. Meditate, that thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written. For therein thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. He said, meditate. He says, Joshua, think about the Bible all the time. He said, if you're going to have victories and you're going to win the battles of life, he said, you're going to have to read the book, think about the book, talk about the book, discuss the book, share the book, preach the book. It's got to be in your heart. So what's he saying a little bit further? Skip down to verse number 10. So there it is. God has spoken verses 1 through 9. And now Joshua has something to say. Here's a good little thought. If you listen to the Lord long enough, you'll have something to say. So Joshua's just been listening to the Lord. God's been giving him his marching orders. Let's deal with your pain. I'll give you my presence. I'll give you my power. There's these principles. Here's this prosperity. And he says, all right, now what are you going to do with it? He said, now I'll talk. Notice what he says, verse 10. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host. Command the people. Get your food ready. Get your hot pockets ready. Get your top ramen ready. Get your lumpia. No. He says, prepare your victuals. Within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan. What's he saying? He didn't even ask for a vote. He just said, all right, pack up. We're crossing over in 3 days. Moses would have had a vote. Joshua said, see that Jordan River? We're crossing it. Pack up. Let's get ready to go. He was decisive. What we need in homes is parents to be decisive, not wishy-washy. You think we ought to pass over or no? I don't know. Let's wait for better weather. He said, we're passing over in 3 days.
Amen.
Decisive leadership. Yes, sir. Not a skirmish, not a question. A million people said, we're passing over. Because one strong leader said, here's where we need to go.
Amen.
Now, let me encourage you. If you're married, parents, it's good if you're pointing the same direction. Here's where we need to go. She's pointing that way. Husband's pointing that way. Someone else is pointing that way. It ought to be clear. Here's where we're going. This is the direction we're facing. That's where we're headed. That's what Joshua said.
Amen.
And they did. Skip down a little bit further here. I love this. We're about out of time. Verse 14. He said, your wives. Look how kind the Lord is in Scripture. And your little ones. Isn't that funny? He called all the kids your little ones. How many parents remember when your kid was little? How many of you have a kid now taller than you? Yeah. The big ones. Yeah. Alec, I see your point. Okay. I don't know if you was ever little, son. But notice what he said, verse 14. But ye shall pass before your brethren, look at this, armed. Armed. Here's what I like. We're about done. So Joshua says, all right, here we go. We're crossing over. There's Jericho. We're about to be in some battles. Arm yourself. Now stop. Do you remember where they came from? Egypt. What were they in Egypt? Anybody remember? Starts with a S, rhymes with Aves. Slaves. I wonder how many weapons they had. All right, a tin hut, all slaves, get your rifles ready. They had a hoe. I don't know what, they had no weapons. So when Joshua said, we're crossing over armed, what weapons did they have? I guess they had all they needed, huh? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're spiritual. God has equipped us with the whole armor of God and all the weapons that we need. Let me ask you a question. Is there some pain that's maybe holding you back that you've never dealt with? Some grief, some loss that you're just wallowing in and won't get past? Let me just say this. Jesus was called the man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. His brothers said, neither do we believe in you. Over 30 years, Jesus had siblings that said, we don't believe in you. One time they said, you are beside yourself. That phrase means you are insane. You're out of your mind. That's what the ones who grew up with him said about him. Then in the garden, his disciples betrayed him. Look at all this pain and loss. Then I always wonder, at the cross, where were all those people he healed? Where was that little boy with the lunch? Was he at the cross? Was blind Bartimaeus there? Was Zacchaeus there? Where were all those he helped? Where were they? Jesus did not let that pain or disappointment or loss disappoint him at all. He had a promised land to reach, and there were some people following him. Let me encourage you. Let's deal with that thing tonight. And the Lord will bless you.